what is stirring in my heart, and I started to tell you this last week, but I can't tell you how many hours I have spent crying out for this as I study it out. So I've been studying out the revivals, the so-called revivals of the past. And some of you know what revival means. Some of you have ideas of what that looks like, and some of you don't. But if you hear people talk about it, some people would say that there's tents involved and screaming preachers and people rolling down the aisles, and so yeah, you like that. There's people crying or laughing uncontrollably. There's miracles and unexplainable things going on, and people will say they were either great or they were fake, and so everybody has an opinion about them. But the reality is, what ends up being the fruit of them? And so I cannot tell you that in revivals, as I've studied them out, that there wasn't nuts and fruits and flakes, because there always is. But when it's God and it's authentic, there's also a move, and not only a move, but there is fruit that lasts. So there are consistent things that happen when the sovereign will of God is done on the earth through a movement like that. And the consistent things is this, is that someone or some people are praying passionately. It never happens without prayer. Never. God didn't just come along and go, oh, I'm just going to have this awesome move that's going to cause everybody to come into agreement right here, and we're going to have a movement. No. He waits for his people to cry out for more. And so even though God is in charge of what happens, he is letting us be in charge of when. Passionate praying people. Amen. Every recorded revival comes from a known move of the Spirit. If you remove the Holy Spirit from the midst of it, it does not occur. Holy Spirit shows up. The third person of the Trinity shows up. He shows up however he wants to. He does what he wants to. People can't explain what he's doing. But if you take Holy Spirit out of the equation, nothing really lasts. Holy Spirit needs to be honored. It's always accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles and crazy stuff. It always is. Can't explain it. It's true. It changes people, cities, regions, and nations, though. That's the end result. So people think that revivals can be, this is when they started and this is when they ended. But in fact, revivals don't end if revival is in people. So revival is personal. It is not, if you are not revived, on a personal level, you cannot move with reformation. And we are not, I mean, so many people are saying, I want to be a revivalist. I want to be, what the heck is a revivalist? A revivalist is just you getting revived. We don't need to be revivalists. We need to be reformers. We need to be those who have got revived by spending time with God, and he has changed us and made us so desperate for what he wants to bring to pass on the earth, that we are willing to do whatever it takes in order for his name to be glorified, in order for people's lives to be changed, in order to scoop people up that were going to hell and take them into heaven. There needs to be a desperation of that inside of us so that he can move and bring about his purposes on the earth, which is not just for people to clap their hands, cry, and roll on the floor. It's for reformation to take place. Amen. And so if we are not those people that are believing God for something different to change, then we are not representing God properly, because God is not the God of the standstill. He is the God of moving forward and collecting souls for spending time with Him in eternity. And so we have to have that heart on the inside of us. And until we are desperate for that, then we are not going to be those who can change the world. And we are called to change the world. We are not called to sit in a pew, although I love you and I want you here to learn and to grow and to be disciples. And so we come together to learn, but we are going to be, the other thing that is about revivals is that there will always be critics. There will always be people who say it wasn't worth anything or it was crazy, and there will be persecution. We don't really like that here. We don't like persecution. I mean, I don't think anybody just signs up for that. Oh, please persecute me. You know, I love it. I don't think we want that, but it is part of the package. And so if there is no persecution, if no one is accusing you, then you're probably not accomplishing much. Because if all you have is friends that think you're wonderful in every area of your life, you are not challenging them to be different. And so we are to be those that are so crazy about Jesus that we can't shut up about him. We can't stop praising his name. We can't stop telling people of his goodness and his greatness. We cannot be silent any longer because we know that out of our mouth comes power to govern. He gave us the ability to, he said from the very beginning in Genesis, he said, this is what I've called you to do, is to take dominion. And when Jesus died, he didn't just die to take away our sins, although I'm really happy he did that, but he also died to give me and to give you back dominion and authority so that we could rule on this earth and cause people to come into the saving knowledge of him so they could also become sons and daughters that are not just eking by, but have power to bring change. Amen? So people consistently go after God. Somebody is praying. I guarantee you that somebody is praying for revival. Somebody is praying for change. Someone is praying for reformation. Someone is praying that God will come in a way that is unprecedented, that we cannot make up, that will be totally him so that totally us can be changed from the inside out. Amen? And our world needs to change. So, okay, if he's in control, his presence keeps us going. His presence keeps us going. So he is the fire that is needed. We can't construct this thing. But we can be a part of a people that is on fire so that his fire can burn. Amen? So, but I have to ask you this question. How can the unrevived bring revival? Let me ask you that again. Over here. Okay, how can the unrevived bring revival? Right? And over here. How in the world can the unrevived bring revival? Yes, thank you. And over here, how can the unrevived bring revival? Exactly. So what is our first order of business? Personal revival. If you are not the most on fire for God that you have ever been, then you need to be revived. And you need a personal revival because it's only personal revival that will bring a lasting transformation. And so we can ask for a bunch of things, but I want him. I want him to change me first. I want him to change us first. I want this church to be known for him and nothing else. Amen? Okay, so he gets to be in control. And I don't mean praying for manifestations. You know, it's fine, whatever he wants to do. But we're not praying for signs, wonders, and miracles. We're praying for him, and with him, he will bring whatever we need. And so that's what we're going to do. So we are not going to be the unrevived. We are going to be the revived. So I'm going to stop my person. To see how it is when I get it up here? Okay. I quote this to you often, but I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified version. Romans 8, 18 and 19. But what of it that I consider that the suffering of this present time and this present life are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Selah, think about that. For even the whole creation, all of nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing and the disclosing of their sonship. That is the cry of heaven right now. Heaven's cry is this: sons and daughters of God will become so aware of who they are in Him that wherever they are, there will be a compelling to be like them, so that the doors will swing wide and we can declare His glory to other people and they will come to know Him and to serve Him. God's heart is always going to be multiplication, not by church transfer, just saying, but by souls collected, by people who love God with all of their heart and have paid the price on the floor to bring them in the door. And so He's assigned us to be more than just churchgoers. He's assigned us to be people that know how to have faith in God and in His word. And He has assigned us, specifically us and other churches, but specifically us, Liberty, to be governors that release a voice to put things in divine order. And until we understand that we are governing voices that can speak to spiritual darkness and cause the light to break through, we will not be complete. And we'll always have that, I wonder what I'm supposed to do, and I wonder what I'm supposed to be. But we have the power on the inside of us. And so, to prove that out, I am going to ask Pastor Gary to come, because he not only has a testimony of this, but I believe he has a message of this that is unprecedented by other people, because he understands it, and he's lived it, and he's taught it, and he's experienced it, and so now he has testimonies of the difference. We pray, and we fight, and we war, and we believe in spiritual warfare in this church. And often we have breakthrough, but we don't talk about the breakthrough as much as we should. But when we recognize our abilities in the Spirit, we will rise into the Spirit more often. And so, Pastor Gary, would you please come? Welcome Pastor Gary as he comes.
The best thing about that is God showed His faithfulness, eh? We took the authority, and things shifted, and it is a God story. I mean, who likes a gift of $1.4 million? Hello? Come on. Somebody's going to do it for you. So before I know we're a bit of under the gun here for time, because we have to be somewhere at 1 o'clock, so it's not negotiable. But we're going to get this done, right? But Danielle, where's Danielle? Danielle, I know that you know that you're good. Okay? But what you don't know is how good you are. And that's only by the gift that God gave you. Like, you need to understand, I'm going to start, my eyes are going to start leaking again. My goodness! Yeah. You need to understand, when I prepare for a message at home, I get up early on Sunday morning, I'm going through my notes, and I'm going making changes or whatever, I'm praying, And then when Joan, I know it's time for Joan to arise, I actually turn on my worship, okay? And I start worshiping God and for the next hour, but from time to time, periodically, I click onto your guys' website. Well, I can't remember, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, you were leading worship. And I'm just I just talk about it and I start to cry. You know, it's like the ability that you have to usher in God's presence is unbelievable. And this church is blessed because you bring your gift to the table. Amen. What's your name, young lady? What's your name? You with the jacket. Yes. What? Rita? Trinda. So Trinda, like you might think you're under the radar, but God sees you and sees your heart. And when you worship, it ushers in his presence. Not just to you don't just experience by yourself, but you actually get to form the atmosphere around you. And when people are near you, they're drawn into his presence. And so it's a gift that he's given you. Amen? God is good. It's oh my goodness. It is so awesome to be back. You know, our church, we say, you know, when people come through our doors and say, and they have been away for a while, they go, it's like being at home. And I don't say this lightly. It's if I walk into one of our life churches, it's like walking into a home, our home. But when I walk into Liberty, it's also our home. I just feel it's here, and it's something to be valued and to. Do you guys actually understand what you have here? You know, there may be only 150 people in this room today, but you know what? The difference that you guys make in Davie, and it goes beyond the borders of Davie into Fort Lauderdale and the regions around here, but also those that travel out of this church and minister, it impacts not just the I was going to say the province, the state of Florida, but it also impacts the nation of United States of America and Canada and around the world. And that's because God has called us to go beyond our four walls, amen? And so when Pastor Don is voluntold you guys to hand out those invitations, take that to heart, because what you have here is going to impact lives. Amen. Johnny, where's your baby? Where is Johnny? Welcome. I really felt that we couldn't go further until we acknowledged your new baby and your wife, and it's an honor to be with you guys. Amen. Pastor Don and Pastor Gary both talked about a couple of things, and one was being seated at the right hand of the Father and the authority that we take. There are certain things that I believe that we actually walk in and that we don't sometimes understand. When we see things, we see great authority, we see great power, all these things that happen. But there's some things that also I believe that we hold on to that can stifle what God wants to do in our hearts and what he wants to do in our lives. And Pastor Gary talked about Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were born, God knew you in the womb. He set you apart to be, in Jeremiah's case, a prophet to the nations. But each one of you has a certain gift that God has given, and he wants you to excel in that gift. I tell people this everywhere I go. I tell people this, that you won't have contentment in your life until, number one, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and number two, that you're walking in what is God-given purpose and plan for your life is. Amen? And then you'll be content. But there's things that will stifle that. One of those things is the power of forgiveness. Who has a problem with forgiving? Hello? You guys are a bunch of saints here. That's awesome. It's just my heathens back home in Drayton Valley that have a problem with forgiveness. Huh? It's like that power of forgiveness, because I'm going to kind of ad lib here because I'm in a time restraint, but the power of forgiveness is so important. It's, in fact, Scripture says that if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. That's Bible. And so if you want to Google that later, you can find a scripture, because I'm going to run through the notes here. But that's how powerful it is. And Jesus also says to us, how many times, you know, do we forgive? Seven? No, 70 times seven. So that means after 490 times, you guys are clear to not to hold forgiveness anymore, okay? No, it's hypothetical. That would be false doctrine. Anyways, but it means this, that we continue to forgive. In fact, there's another scripture that says, how many times in a day do I forgive? If my brother sins against me seven times and he repents, you forgive. Forgiveness holds us in a prison. We have the authority, we have the power, but what stifles us from walking in the fullness of that authority is we hold on to unforgiveness. I want to give you a couple of keys that are stories about what I've seen in my life, but also I've seen in others. How many of you know that when you guys in your church, you have here, it's called Truth Ministry, right? And in our church in Drake, we call it, and the other life churches, we call it the Listening Prayer Ministry. And basically, they're the same thing, where we're going back and finding out why we respond the way we respond. Well, just, I don't know how many years ago it was, my son was going through some problems, okay? And my son was his life was falling apart. He was about 21 years old. And for you that don't know, I'm just being transparent. It's okay, Joan? Is it? Good? Awesome. Okay. She's holding. Oh, by the way, it was her birthday a couple weeks ago. Woohoo! She's the hottest looking 60-year-old I've ever seen. Anyways, but... did I just say 60? I'm sorry. You're a Christian. You have to forgive me. Anyways, when I met my wife, my son was already in the picture, and we were going to tell him that I was not his biological father. He, at about 8 or 9 years old, was in a confrontation with one of his cousins, and one of his cousins says to him, "Well, you're not Uncle Randy's real son anyways." Well, you know what happened? He didn't understand at that time. We were going to tell him that when we felt the time was right. But that door was open. He made a judgment against his biological father. And my wife could attest to me that I treat my son no different than I treat my two daughters. And we have grown together as a family. But when I would say, "I love you," he would say, "I love you." But it was like looking back on it, I'd go, "My goodness, you know, like I was missing something." And so what happened was this: in a what you call truth ministry session, we found out that at that age, when he made that judgment, that inner vow against his biological father, it locked him up. And when he asked for forgiveness and then forgave his biological father, the room literally erupted. And he started yelling at me that he loved me. It was amazing. There was snot flying everywhere. It was like, and, you know. And so it was then when his life shifted, and he actually phoned Pastor Gary and Kim and hooked up with them in Drayton Valley and went to Bible college, and his life, he was one of our worship leaders. His life radically changed because of the power of forgiveness. When we hold on to unforgiveness, just recently, is this being recorded? It's live? Okay, I can't tell that story. Dang. There was a situation that recently, when I was working with a fella, and the power of forgiveness unlocked the door. It was like his life has been radically changed. I'll go back to another story I can tell. Pastor Joan, when she was younger, had the house that her dad built. It was a crawl space underneath the house. He didn't have a basement like most of the houses in Canada. but there's a crawl space, and her brother used to lock her underneath there. He thought it was quite funny. Well, in a session, listening prayer session, Joan forgave her brother. Her brother, older brother, never phones, is like bizarre, you know? And 1:30 in the afternoon, don't quote me on the times, I might be telling this story wrong, but 1:30 in the afternoon, he calls out of the blue. Out of the blue, he calls. How you doing? I just thought I'd check in. It's powerful. Forgiveness. When we don't walk in forgiveness, we restrain the hand of God from working in the fullness that we have. So we have the authority, we have the prayer, we have all those things that we can do, but the fullness of that, we have the authority, but the fullness of that, can't we, by walking in unforgiveness, can restrict our hand. Amen? Honor. Another thing about honor. How many of you have been to Redding, California? Anybody? They got a culture of honor there that I desire, and I work towards. It's like honor. By the way, this is what honor is, and honor doesn't. This is not what honor is. That I look at you and you're such a wealthy guy, and you're a big guy, and you're like, I just look at you, and you're all that, you know what I mean? And you bought me breakfast this morning, and you know. Jeff is up here, and I'm down here. You know what I mean? No, but actually, Jerry, I wouldn't be lipping off over there. I heard that you were on your best behavior today. But honor, what honor is when you esteem somebody, when you value somebody, when you hold somebody as precious, like gold, when you don't treat somebody as common. That's honor. That's a healthy honor. That's what the Bible says. And so if we look in, how am I going to go there? 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's to value, to esteem, to revere, not to treat as common. If you look in that scripture, what honor the king is, that king was King Agrippa Herod III. He was the guy that was ordering the slaughter and the persecution of Christians. And yet God tells us to honor him. We honor the position. We don't have to honor his actions. So whether it's the Prime Minister of Canada right now, which I'm very challenged. I used to challenge Pastor Dawn. Now she can challenge me. But it's easy when it's somebody that's favorable that's in your president's seat or your prime minister's seat to honor them. But when they don't believe the things that you believe and they're doing things like legalizing marijuana in Canada right now, hello? Come on. I used to be in that scene, and it's well, who cares? You know what I mean? I just think they actually wanted to get so passive that they can continue to do what they want to do. But anyways, to honor that position, we have to honor my prime minister. We have to honor our president, whether we voted for him or not. We have to honor that position, okay? Even if he's not doing everything right. We have to love God. We have to love people. We have to honor our God. We have to honor our president, our prime minister. When Jesus went into his own land, it says the prophet was without honor except in his own land. And at the end of that scripture, let me see. And when he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get the wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not with honor except in his own country and in his own house. Pastor Don is your pastor. She's also a prophet. it's very important we never forget what God has given us. Amen? She is to be valued. She is to be esteemed. She is to be not treated as common, just like you guys are not to be treated as common. Every one of you bring a gift to the table. You esteem one another. You value one another. Don't treat each other as common because you have something unique to bring to the body of Christ. Amen? So they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. Now he did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. I believe what Pastor Gary was talking about, what Pastor Don was talking about, the authority, the prayer, all those things can be hindered if we walk in a culture of dishonor. His hand is free to move when he has a house with a culture of honor, a house that has a culture of forgiveness and acceptance and grace. It's by grace that we have been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. We didn't deserve it. We sang the song today. We didn't deserve it. You know, he went and left the 99 for you. And so when we recognize who we are and what he's done for us, and we walk in that culture of honor, when we walk in the power of forgiveness, you watch when we pray, when we make those declarations, when we take the authority, the personal spiritual supremacy, as Pastor Gary talks about in his book, it's like understanding who we are and we're walking in those things. You watch God move in Jesus' name. Amen? Pastor Don, I said something as well. And let me see here. Just one second. God is good. By the way, Pastor Don, I don't know if you noticed, but I straightened some of your chairs when I got in here this morning. Just for now. Just for today, pretend I'm Jesus, okay? This is the throne of God the Father sitting at the right hand of the Father. I've done all I can do. I laid my life down for you. The veil was torn in two. All authority has been given back to you. My heart was to honor. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I'm sitting here. You guys have the keys. What are you going to do about it? I have given you gifts. Jeff. People probably tried to put you in different boxes in different scenarios. But I've made you just the way I want you to be. You're a leader. You're a businessman. You have wisdom. You have insight. You have revelation thoughts that have shifted the culture and will continue to shift the culture. It's huge. You know who you are? You're my son. You've got a big papa's heart because I gave it to you. Now this isn't Jesus talking anymore. I watched you this morning, and those men that sat with you, you shift their atmosphere every time you get together with them. That's just those men I met, but I know I walk through these doors, and I look, and I see the Father's heart in you impacting all these people. Father's sitting at the right hand, Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's calling you. You have unique gifts. You have the authority. You have the power. It's amazing. This couple, yeah, you waved it to me. That, yes, yes, you. No, you know, you went like this, yes. That's what we all do when somebody's looking out. It's just me. But I watched you two during worship. I do that. I look around and I'm thinking, what has God got to say to them? And I don't know your story, but I know together you guys have a powerful ministry. You guys have the ability to impact others. Actually, where's Steve, by the way? Steve. Yeah. You guys, my goodness. I see that mantle on you too. And it's like I don't know if you guys work together or not, but do you? Come on. It is like there is seeds planted. Some of those seeds you'll see right away. But some of those seeds are planted that you will water those seeds, you will fertilize those seeds, and then all of a sudden just like poof, there'll be a fruit-bearing tree. And you guys, hand in hand, are doing that with those young people. Amen? It's powerful. That's pretty cool. I didn't know you worked with them. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We're his hands and feet. Walking in the authority we've given us. Walking in forgiveness, walking in honor, walking through declaration, prayer, walking through the prophetic, everybody together, you watch this Florida, United States, and Canada, and around the world change in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. Amen. Two things I want to end this service with is number one, thanks, Jeff. Number one, I don't know everybody in this room. One of the most powerful things, one of the things that you heard Pastor Gary talk about, saved, delivered, made whole, that's called sozoed in the Greek word. That's called saved. Salvation comes when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. He comes into our heart. He has an amazing life for us. I did that when I was 32 years old, and it's I've never looked back. I've never second guessed myself. God has walked with me and Joan, brought us into a strong relationship, into ministry together. I would never do anything without my wife. I love her. I love working with her. She makes me complete. But He has a purpose and a plan for everybody, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're just going to get married, whatever that story is. He has a journey for you, but He also has a desire to have a relationship with you, and that comes by receiving Him as your Savior. I don't know if you know or totally what that means, but it means this, that when we take a step of faith, ask Him to come into our life, recognize what He did on the cross for you, what He did on the cross for me. He, when we do that, He says, come to me, I'm going to walk with you, and we're going to have an amazing life together. It doesn't mean that you won't have any challenges, but it does mean that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always knocking on your door. He's knocking on the door of your heart. If you're here today and never received Christ as your Savior, He wants a relationship. He laid it all down. He says He wished that none would perish, all would come to the knowledge of Him. If that's you today, just raise your hand. Maybe you've walked away from Him and said, I got to get back on track. Is there anybody that's speaking to you? I'm not going to make you come up here and stand and do a dance or something. We'll just stand here together and pray as a church, and you can receive Him as your Savior. Does that speak to anybody in this room? Everybody's good with Jesus? You guys better hand out those invitations, because I'm preaching to the choir here. Amen? But He does want a relationship. Number two is this. You can't do any of this in your flesh. Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. It's there for you to have. Do you want it? Then come to the front then. Danielle, can I get you to play? Pastor Gary and Kim and Joan and Don and whoever your other prayer teams are, let's pray for these people. Just a fresh anointing, a fresh power. Maybe there's some here that never received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, but God wants it for you. All you guys that are sitting down, you just pray for these people because... Want to take it over, Don?
You're doing great.